Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories.
Welcome to the Franco Podcast. Welcome to the 2024 Rendezvous de la Francophonie Podcast. I interviewed 8 bilingual or multilingual people for this year's podcast, including Callie Linz. Callie lives in Nelson and is the executive director of BC Arts Organization. She has a background in dance and theater. Here's our conversation. My first question for you is, what do you think the value of speaking more than one language is for you?
Sure. I really like that question. And I'm actually going to defer to the brilliant playwright Thompson Highway and some comments that he made recently. I think he did the 2023 Massey Lecture, and it's all on CBC Ideas podcast as well. He did a version of them there. But I love what he said about speaking 3 languages. He may speak more than that, but he was speaking specifically about Cree, English, and French. And he said, you know, English is very much the language of the mind, of science. It's a very rational language. For him, it was the language of the head. And he was talking about French being the language of the heart and how many people talk about French as la langue d'amour. And he really felt like that creative expressive side is so well captured in French. And then he said, Cree is the language of the stomach. He said, when you're in a mix of people speaking Cree, there's just so much laughter. It is such a... just such a full body experience speaking and living in Cree. And he has such love for that language. And I just thought, what a really brilliant way of touching on the different affects and the different sensations of living within different languages. I truly feel like a different person when I'm speaking French versus when I'm speaking English. There's different facets that come out, I think, in different languages. So I really think just being in touch with those different facets of yourself and being in touch with different ways of thinking, I think it shifts the way that you look at the world when you force yourself to frame it differently in a different language.
When did you start to learn French and how did that progress for you?
I guess it started in, oh goodness, when do we start learning French here in elementary school, I suppose? And I really wanted nothing more than to be in French immersion. And I actually was denied my request by my family. I was primarily raised by my grandparents. I was a bit of an odd kid in that I've always been particularly interested in federal politics. So, you know, here in Canada, it's a very bilingual space. And I begged my grandma to request that I enter French immersion. I think it was from grade 7 onwards. And, you know, given the era that she grew up in, she looked at me and she said, school is hard enough in one language. Why in the world would you want to do it in 2? And she said no. And I was just absolutely gutted. I cried for a week. You know, it's very dramatic about it. I'm a theater person by, you know, by passion and training. So I was very dramatic about it all. She eventually caved and got me on the waiting list, but I never was able to enter, unfortunately. But I had a fantastic French teacher in high school at Stanley Humphreys in Castlegar. And I did the J'explore program, which is a wonderful program that's funded, I believe, through the federal government. And they take Anglophones and bring them to small towns in Quebec. And there's an exchange both ways. And you do a significant immersion experience over the summer. You take French courses through local universities. So I was very grateful to spend a summer in Trois-Pistes, Quebec. And that was sort of the start of really enjoying being immersed in the language. And then, of course, I went to McGill when I graduated from high school, and that's an Anglophone university, and most of my studies and, you know, my life on campus was in English, but I was so passionate about being out in the contemporary dance scene, and I feel like I learned so much about French and about sort of living in French by continuing my dance training within those those primarily French institutions. What a wonderful scene it is, the contemporary dance scene in Montreal. So that's my very winding path.
Absolutely. Are you finding uses for your French and kind of predominantly Anglophone environment here in BC?
Well, I've only been back in BC now for about a year and a half, so not as much as I'd like. And I think I'm a little gun shy anytime I have the opportunity as well. I'm trying to seek out opportunities where that's really the focus going into the room, is I'm going to practice my French and just try to bring it to the surface a little bit more.
Are there things that you love about being bilingual, and do you find anything difficult about it?
Well, you know what's so interesting, Catherine, is I really struggle with that word bilingual. Like, I really wonder, you know, at what point, similarly, the word fluency, I find quite tricky. And I'm sure people say all the time, oh, I have such imposter syndrome with you know, calling myself bilingual or saying I'm fluent in my second language. So I was actually talking to my friend Lena. She's German. She's from Germany. And she's, you know, very recently come to sort of living her whole life in English. And she really learned English quite quickly. And I said to her, do you feel like you're fully bilingual, or do you feel like you're fluent in English at this point? And she said, no, which I found so fascinating because, you know, we speak in English all the time, and I don't feel like that being her second language is any impediment to our communication in any way. We may use different words for things, but I thought that was so interesting. She said, you know, I still think in German and I dream in German. Mm-hmm. So I don't feel like I'm fluent yet. So all that to say, I feel the same way around the word bilingual. I'm not sure if I will ever feel confident enough to really label myself with that, but I do love the opportunity it provides to engage in conversations with more people and to engage with people on their terms, and to enter into their space and their world a little bit if they are French speakers, or if they are a speaker, you know, in a different language that that you also have some conversational ability in.
I guess maybe a proficiency is a better word for some people, for sure. Because, yeah, I guess it is true. You may just never be quite as good as you are in your original language in any other language.
Mm-hmm. And I think it has so much to do with sort of that internal confidence. Like, I don't know if I'll ever get rid of that sort of anxious feeling when I need to prime myself to speak French, right? So, that's one of those things where it's a very internal feeling. So I don't know if it matters at all at the end of the day, but it's definitely there for sure.
Probably having a second language has opened up your mind a bit and made you a more creative person. You alluded a little bit to your time in the Montreal dance scene.
Yeah, I do think there's different conversations happening in, you know, English theater spaces versus French theater spaces. I would say that the dance community there is predominantly French, and it has a different flavor than the dance community in Toronto, for sure. And that's partly because those scenes are connected to different touring networks. Right? There's a lot of French and Western European companies that frequently tour through Montreal who don't come to Toronto, and you have a wider range of aesthetic experiences if you're comfortable entering both of those spheres, I find. So I do feel like my artistic experiences have been incredibly enriched by being able to dwell in both of those spaces.
I know you've done some journalism and some radio. Was any of that in French, or has it mostly been in English?
I was with CBC Radio, so the English side, not Radio-Canada. But it's interesting when you are working in current affairs in Montreal. I was working out of the CBC Montreal office primarily as a Zosky intern, and you do need to do some of your research phone calls in French and some of your other story sourcing and prospecting in French. And that was one of those moments where you'd always have that slight anxiety when you go to dial a number, because you don't know which language to switch into based on the person on the other side of the phone when you're doing those initial calls, just to find out if they have anything to say, you know, about the story at hand. Yeah. And then, I mean, some shows that I worked on, I did spend a little bit of time with CBC Music that was based out of that office at the time. And of course, Radio 2 does some programming on both sides, but primarily in English. Thank goodness. I do feel like my proficiency is not high enough to be a working journalist in French. I can say that for sure.
Understandable. You'd have to be pretty good. Are there other languages you're interested in pursuing?
That's a great question. Well, you've mentioned that I spend a lot of time in the dance space. And for a time, I really thought learning German would be fantastic. And then I could just hang out in Berlin and see all of the postmodern dance and theater that I wanted. So German's definitely up there. I have dabbled in Duolingo Italian. I think that would be a great place to visit. I do enjoy learning languages. So I think, you know, now that I've got some proficiency in French, it's just a matter of focusing and picking one and having some discipline and seeing it through a little bit more. I'm one of those people where I just want to do everything all at once, all the time. So I do need to focus in a little bit. So I'm glad you asked me that question because it has forced me to think about which one is next. I'm curious though, Catherine, do you speak any languages beyond French as well in English?
Well, actually, my French is pretty rudimentary. I have been learning with Duolingo for a few years, but you know, I'm tell people I'm probably at a grade 6 level or something. So I got a few years to go.
Maybe we'll have to go grab a tea and start practicing here and there.
I actually find that I can write and read reasonably, but yeah, my spoken French, because I don't really practice it with anybody, is pretty weak.
But yeah, practicing is hard here in BC for sure. I'm really grateful for AFCO and I've yet to take advantage of a lot of their programs, but I certainly hope to do so soon.
Definitely. Yeah. And I mean, people, you know, people that speak the language, you know, often speak quite fast because that's how people speak, but I can't always follow that fast. So, but eventually I have high hopes that eventually, you know, I'll be, you know, well, proficient in some way.
I know we're coming up on time here, but I do have to share that that's when I started to feel like I was really quite proficient in French. It's when I would say a few words or you have a very brief conversation with someone in a shop, and then they would start speaking very quickly on the assumption that I was francophone. I thought, okay, great. This is where I've sort of leveled up a little bit.
Yeah.
And then you'd have to say, oh, plus lentement, s'il vous plaît. Actuellement, je suis anglophone, désolé, très désolé. But I thought, oh, that's such a funny moment, actually, when being someone from within theater and within those kinds of spaces, you know, I feel like my accent is probably better than, I shouldn't say that after I just said a few words there that were probably totally off the mark. But, you know, when you're totally immersed in that environment, I feel like I could ape the sound and the rhythm more than all the granularities of the grammar. So that was such an interesting moment for me.
That was my conversation with Callie Linz, who lives in Nelson, BC. You've been listening to the 2024 Rendezvous de la Francophonie podcast, hosted and produced by Catherine Fisher. The podcast celebrates March, the month of the Francophonie, and it was made possible by the Dialogue Foundation, which has a mission to engage in a sustainable dialogue within the Francophonie and with all of Canada's diversity. This year's Rendezvous de la Francophonie partners and funders include the Government of Canada, the Linguistic Portal of Canada, the National Film Board, Air Canada, La Fédération de la Jeunesse Canadienne Française, NAF Canada, and many other groups, including the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
your love is a fantasy. Fantasy.
Welcome to the Franco Podcast. Welcome to the 2024 Rendezvous de la Francophonie Podcast. I interviewed 8 bilingual or multilingual people for this year's podcast, including Victoria King. Victoria is a manager at a charitable foundation in Winnipeg, Manitoba, and previously worked in the community radio sector. Here's our conversation. I'm wondering, what's the value of speaking more than one language for you?
For me, it's kind of a benefit that I think I have when it comes to looking for jobs and opportunities is a big one for me. The value I also have found that in my life, I've done a bit of traveling and it is definitely really exciting and beneficial when I go somewhere new and I can connect with people in another language and in their language, because French is not my first language. So yeah, it does open doors, which is cliche, but it really does. And I also just think the value or the benefit is that I remember learning French and it challenged my brain to think in a new way. And it still does. When I hear it on the radio or if I'm watching a movie or something, I kind of have to
focus a little more. And I think it's good for my brain. It makes it work a little bit harder.
How about, does it kind of open up new avenues in terms of books and music and movies you mentioned?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I think actually books is a good one. So my husband is the assistant manager at McNally Robinson Booksellers, which is an independent bookstore in Winnipeg. And he took French in school and learned French. And in his adult life, he's read books in French. And there's sort of a, depending on the book and the author, there's a really unique difference culturally and, you know, in the tone and everything, reading something in a new language. And I do think that it makes a huge difference to read something in its original language as opposed to a translation. There's nothing wrong with a translation, but I do think that there are, I think that there's probably nuances that are difficult to capture or challenging to capture when you apply translation to something. So that makes it pretty unique.
When did you start to learn French and how did that learning progress for you?
I started to learn French in school, in grade school. I was in English. All my courses were in English all through elementary school. And then when I was in junior high, I went to a junior high that offered late immersion. So it meant that you could start taking, you know, all your courses in French starting in grade 7. My husband, by contrast, he started learning French in, I think, kindergarten or grade 1, and he did all of his school in French. So I went to a school that offered late immersion, and then I actually did extra late immersion. So I was always in English until about the end of grade 8, and then I switched to French immersion in grade 9, and I did French immersion in grades 9 through, I think, 11 and 12. I had always enjoyed French. I'd always done pretty well with it. And then it just kind of happened that all of my friends in junior high were in French. And I really liked, there was a different mood in the classes. And I was really challenged by it at sort of a nice level where I felt like it was difficult. I was learning new things, but it wasn't so hard that it was totally out of my grasp. I remember it being really difficult, but I do remember that it was actually much better to have no other option. Like the fact that you could only speak French and like the teachers would not, you know, give in to you and speak English made it the learning a lot more efficient and it made me try a lot harder. And I had really great teachers. Like I went to it's a public school, it's Monroe Junior High in Winnipeg. And at a certain point, I don't know when it happened, but it just got easier and easier. And there will always be things that I still am challenged by and with French. But yeah, over time, it just got easier. And, you know, neither of my parents speak any French. And they didn't put me in French immersion because my mom had always said, well, we thought if you brought home homework, we wouldn't be able to help you. We wouldn't know the language. So we couldn't, that's why we didn't put you in French. Yeah. And then in first year university, I ended up doing a study abroad course and I went to the south of France. And that was great. Like I went with a few Canadians and Americans. And it was interesting to see pretty much all the Americans learned like elementary, like basic French and sort of for myself and a lot of the other Canadians be able to move through the country and the classes a lot easier, mostly get it. It's been a long time since I've used my French daily, but it still comes back, which sometimes I'm surprised by. I listen to something. I'm like, oh yeah, no, I definitely still know what they're saying. And again, I still think the best way to learn it is to be forced to use it, you know, to have no other choice, that's the only language you're allowed to speak. You just learn fast, which is pretty amazing, actually, how we can adapt.
Do you find anything difficult about being bilingual?
I do find it used to, I didn't appreciate it when I was learning the language. and I still find it really challenging now, is just remembering that the like structure and patterns of the phrasing and the grammar mm-hmm. is not just easy translate into English. It's not just knowing the words and replacing them. It's the actual like structure of the verbs and the pronouns and everything go in a different order. I find that very challenging. Yeah, and maybe just keeping it up is challenging. You know, I'm shy now about speaking in French. Even though I think if I sat at a table and people were speaking, I'd get it, or I could read the newspaper and I'd be fine. I'm very reluctant to say anything in French because I haven't kept it up.
When you're fluent in English already and you can talk about sophisticated things, I'm even at my beginner level of French. It's just really hard to, you know, to be at a lower level.
Yeah.
Is there another language that you'd love to learn?
I think that learning German would be, I'd love to learn German. My mother's side of the family is German, and my grandparents spoke German to each other. And her family immigrated to Canada in the early 1920s. And I think that my grandma used to teach me a bit of German when I was young. And so I don't remember much at all, but it's such a unique and like somewhat strange language to me. I don't hear it spoken often, and I don't hear it popularly, you know, on the radio or the television, but just it would make me think of my grandparents. So learning German would be pretty interesting.
So this podcast series is going to be aired on campus community and Indigenous radio stations across the country to celebrate the Rendezvous de la Francophonie. You want to tell me a little bit about your long history with community radio?
So I first got involved with community radio in 2010, September of 2010, as a student at the University of Winnipeg. And then it really just kind of snowballed from there. I started doing a show at CKUW. Over time, after a period of time, I also became staff at the station. I was the volunteer coordinator for 3.5 years. And then I was the full-time program director for 2 years. I also served on the board of the NCRA, and I've done a lot of different kinds of radio. I had a music show for 9 years, almost 9 years. I hosted on a morning show. I produced a radio documentary at one point. So it's been just a constant in my life, and I think it helped me build more of my identity in my adult life, and it connected me to people and communities in this city in Winnipeg. That mean a lot to me now, and yeah, introduced me to local music, which was a you know, ongoing interest of mine, just to see what music is coming out and what people are making. And it's been, you know, there's been stops and starts to it too, where I've taken a break or I've stepped away for a while, but I think it's nice. I feel like with campus radio, you know, that's a normal thing. It takes a lot of energy to make radio and a lot of thoughtfulness and attention. So I like the idea that maybe I can come back to it at different points in my life and try new things and also step away when I have other things in my life, you know? And I do think that actually makes it a nice environment for everyone, you know, that you have different people coming in as leaders or as, you know, thought makers or whatever, and this ongoing cycle of people coming through. Can I ask you what inspired you to, so it's recently that you've been learning French, right?
Yes.
Okay. What inspired that?
Well, honestly, actually, I'd always thought I wasn't very good at French, because maybe I didn't give it enough attention when I was in school, or, you know, I don't know. For some reason, my mind was elsewhere. And, then when I was actually